Let's turn now for our scripture reading. We turn to the Old Testament in the book of Joshua and the chapter 2. The book of Joshua and the chapter 2. The words that we read this morning, we come once again to the book of Joshua and the chapter 2. This is the word of Almighty God. The Lord give us ears to hear and hearts to truly receive his word. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, "They came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were." And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God, in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother, and my brethren and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." And the men answered her, "Our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee." Then she let them down by a cord through the window. For her house was upon the town hall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, "Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned. And afterward may ye go your way." And the men said unto her, "We will be blameless of this thy oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear." And she said, "According unto your words, so be it." And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went and came unto the mountain and abode there 3 days until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, truly, the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Amen. So reads God's precious, holy, infallible word. And we pray that he will bless that public reading of his word to the glory of his name and to the good of our very needful and never dying souls. Well, dear friends, I turn your prayerful attention once again to the words that I read to you in your hearing there in the book of Joshua, the chapter 2. This morning we began to look at this marvelous chapter, this historical event, Joshua chapter 2, as we began to see how Joshua sent two spies into the land. Now, I said this morning, it's true that as we look at this passage, we see two themes here running through, the sovereignty of God, and we can certainly see it with Rahab, and also the responsibility of man. We see it with Joshua. We considered something of Joshua and his desire to be prudent, to be wise, although in chapter 1 and the verse 5, God said to him before the people that wherever he would tread his foot, the land would be theirs. But nonetheless, Joshua, he sends out two spies, doesn't he? Having faith doesn't make us irresponsible, but we employ all the means that God gives us in the life. And so we thought a little bit about Joshua. We thought of the amazing providence of these two spies lighting upon Rahab's house, one who has recently been converted because there's a change in her life. She may well be called here Rahab the harlot, as were many, even in the New Testament, like, as I mentioned, Simon the leper. There were many that still retained, as in Hebrews and in James concerning Rahab, they still retained their old names. But it's quite clear from this passage that she is a changed woman. She is a woman that has faith in these things. She has fear to God. She indeed is a woman that has been changed, utterly changed by God in her life. And what I want us to see this evening, the reasoning of faith, and that's what we see here. We see how she begins to think differently. So different to the people of the city of Jericho. When God begins to open up our eyes, and I want to challenge the unbeliever this evening, why you don't see, you ought to see, as Rahab sees. Jericho is a wonderful picture of this world that is soon going to be destroyed, isn't it? And, well, she has heard of the mighty works of God that have already taken place. Certainly all the people of Jericho have heard it. But they don't fear, she fears. That's the difference. That's the difference. They have a sense of fear. We read that, don't we, in the verse 12 and the verse 11. They have a sense of fear, but they have no filial fear. They have no respect for God. And they certainly don't love the people of God. And these people are licentious. Now, Jericho was a polytheistic society, a society of many gods. So long as those gods served you and gave you what you wanted, and the world is very much like that today, isn't it? You know, there's the god of materialism, isn't there? There's the god of pleasure, there's the god of this, and there's a god of that. And basically, these gods are not real gods, the gods that they served. Well, one of the gods they served was Molech. And you know how wicked that worship was of Molech. They would throw little infants into the fire. Oh, all for prosperity for the parents. And a sense of ease that it would be well with them. But this, again, of course, is against the great Creator, isn't it? So wrath, judgment is coming upon Jericho. And it's a reminder, it's a picture, dear friends, of this world that is passing away. The wrath of God is coming, and it's coming soon. But here we see the reasoning of faith. It's rational. Faith is rational. It's not irrational. It's blindness, let me say, not to believe in God. It's not only ignorance of the heart, but it's a total and utter defiance of the living God. What faith does is it, when God so works in our hearts, it humbles us and it removes prejudices. That's really what faith is. It's not, yes, it is a supernatural work, but really it deals with the callousness of the human heart. That's the problem with the human race. Blind in its sin, living for itself, living in open denial of God, and people have a callous heart. Although they knew judgment was coming, as we've read here, great wrath was coming, and yet, how different she is to them. They have a sense of fear, but there's no bowing to the eternal God. And dear friends, if you're unsaved this evening, it's a terrible thing not to be saved, to be lost, to only have that fearful expectation of the fiery wrath of God that is to come. And I pray that God may unsettle you in your sin this evening. Now, this evening I want to draw your attention to a specific verse. We're not going to preach exactly on this verse, but really we're going to take it as our framework and setting. Notice the verse 12. Now, therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. These words are spoken by Rahab while she is on top of the roof with these spies that she is hiding. She only reveals to them at this specific point that she is a true believer in the living God. It's only up until that point when they at first knock on her door and they visit her, they have no idea who she is. Their plan, Joshua has sent them into the city to spy out Jericho. But of course, God is behind all of this. In their spying out, they, in one sense, don't achieve anything. They do bring back the word from Rahab that the people of Jericho and the entire lot of the Canaanites fear. They do bring that word back, at least. But actually, these men, when you stop and think about it, and when you think about this whole story here, were sent, actually, to bring a message that this woman might be saved. God is behind all of this, isn't he? Had they not have gone into the city, she would not have cast that cord down, and she ultimately would have been destroyed, her and her family. What a wonderful picture of redemption. That's really behind this whole message here. Other things certainly are achieved, but this is the grand, should we say, achievement of God in all of this. While Joshua sent the spies and being wise and seeking to be responsible, doing the right thing, and yet their plan is foiled, isn't it? They very quickly rumbled, and somebody discovers them going into her house, which was built upon the wall, and then immediately she hides them. She has discerned from their first meeting that they are Hebrew men. That's why she hid them. And that's why she's kept them. And then when the king, notice in the verse 3, sends and hears that this woman has been meeting with the spies, what does the king do? The king sends his men round. Well, tell me where these spies are. And of course, his intention is not good. He's going to try to kill these spies. And so she hides them on the roof top there. We thought this morning how her lifestyle has changed. She's called here Rahab the harlot. But we notice there that upon her roof, what has she been storing upon her roof? Well, stalks of flax, verse 6. Then she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. I mentioned this morning that back in those days, one of the great trades of woman who worked honestly, were to work this flax and to make cotton. And Egypt, by the way, were big buyers of flax from Jericho. And I didn't mention this morning that Jericho at this time are under subjugation to Egypt, as were many of some of these southern states of Canaan, all answerable to Egypt. And so I mentioned also the Amarna letters, which you can go and see for yourself in the British Museum. They're still there on display today, where some kings of Canaan wrote to the king of Egypt asking that they would form a confederacy, because these people, the Hebira people, are coming up and are going to soon invade the land. We see here how she notes, you notice there how the kings, two kings have already been destroyed, how also the Lord parted the Red Sea. Verse 10, I'll read from verse 9, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what he did unto the kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon, and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed, and so on. So she's aware of these things. And as I said a moment ago, these Amarna letters, they're on view. The atheist would deny all these things, but they're on view in the British Museum. You can see for yourself how these various kings had promised goods, and certainly cotton was one of them, to give to Egypt. And of course, you know, Egypt is well known for its Egyptian cotton, and so they would sell to these people. And what's she doing? She's turned away from this very licentious living of being a harlot to now a God-fearing woman. And it's amazing, isn't it, as we thought this morning, how in the providence of God, these men are sent to her home. They didn't know about her. They figured perhaps we'll go to some harlot's place or some inn. She may have been using it as an inn at the moment. Obviously, they stayed there. And we'll find out the local gossip. But there, lo and behold, they are sent to somebody who the Lord has already saved. The Lord has already worked in her heart. Isn't that amazing? So really, the great achievement of their mission was this, that a covenant would be made with her. A covenant there of the scarlet thread, and it's a wonderful token of what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friends. That's the marvelous thing of it all. But you know, the apostle Paul, as well as James, the half-brother of our Lord Jesus Christ, speak of this faith that this woman has. We read it this morning, James chapter 2, the verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Ye see, then, how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. And then notice the striking words, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now, we considered this morning of the works of faith, but I want to think this evening of the reasoning of faith, how faith thinks. When God begins to work in our hearts, and there may be somebody who the Lord is working in their heart. Listen, you're listening to the Word of God, and God is beginning to open up your eyes to see that this world is perishing, that this world is soon to be doomed and lost forever. So here tonight, the reasoning of faith. Faith makes somebody think differently. She thought very differently to the people of Jericho, didn't she? How were the people of Jericho living? They were living for themselves. They could care less about this God that has delivered them from the mighty Egyptians. And maybe you have heard, you're listening, maybe you've heard about our God, the true, the living God, who has done these things not only in the Old Testament, but has sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this world is coming to a sudden end and will be judged. Well, if God is beginning to open your eyes, you begin to reason like this woman. Well, when you look at her, she was a great sinner, wasn't she? And yet she was saved. Saved by God's grace. And this is all God's mercy, isn't it? He came into the world to save sinners. Now, faith relates to real facts revealed in the Word of God. It's not faith in simply what we want. You know, the Bible is full of historical facts. I've given you historical facts. You know, it's foolishness to contrive in your mind that we came out of nothing. Isn't it? It defies logic. Nothing cannot make everything. But in the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. But man has departed from the living God. And God has saved a people here out of Egypt, an unworthy people, an unthankful people. How has he saved them? He delivered them by the blood of the Lamb. There was that Passover night when they were delivered by the blood. They should have been killed, could have been killed, and would have been killed were it not of the blood of the Lamb upon their doorposts and lintels. They would have perished, and so it is. Without Jesus Christ's blood and his righteousness, sinners go to a lost eternity. None deserve to be saved. And so the Bible relates to real facts as revealed in the Word of God. What facts had she heard? Facts. God parted the Red Sea. God has destroyed all these nations. Again, go to the British Museum and you'll read of how those 14 kings of Canaan appealed to Pharaoh for help. But where's Pharaoh? Not this Pharaoh, of course, that the old previous Pharaoh has perished. But they know better, don't they, than to fight against the Almighty. Who can contend, my friend, against the Almighty? You can't. I can't. None of us can contend against the Almighty. And she has come to see these things. You notice as we read there from verse 9 onwards, she says, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. It's already a done deal. It's a fait accompli. And my dear friends, the destruction of this world is a fait accompli. God has determined it, and that he will judge sinners. This is how faith begins to reason. You see, not to reason this way is irrational. Now, I know that faith is the gift of God. Nobody can deny that, because that's the plain teaching of Scripture, Ephesians 2:8. We're saved by grace through faith. But you see, this is how faith does work. The people, notice here, it is a very striking fact, my dear friend, that the people of Jericho feared. Notice, verse 10, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea, and so on. Notice verse 9 at the end there. The terror of is fallen upon us. And you see, people are terrified in this world of dying. You can't deny that, my friends. You don't need to convince anybody in this world. They won't admit it. But they're terrified of dying. You know, take a man like Voltaire, we're discussing this afternoon, Voltaire. He was such a brave man up until his final hour. And there were shrieks and terrors coming from his room. The moment of his last hour, that will be the way for Richard Dawkins. That'll be the way for all. Because they know there's judgment at the end. But when God begins to work in your heart, you see, like he did in this Sin is hard. This is the reasoning of faith. She looks at her city and she compares it to God's people. She's changed allegiance, hasn't she? Her allegiance was once to the people of Jericho. She was once a sinister woman. A woman, no doubt, very wealthy. Entertaining men. Earning a lot of money, they say, to live on this wall was quite a prestigious thing. But now look at her. She's got flax on her roof, and she's working. What is she working? She's working the flax that she may sell cotton. And it's within that flax, as we thought this morning, that God is pleased to put his spies in and to keep them. An honest living. But now she's living for God. She's turned away, hasn't she? She's turned, as it were, her back against Jericho. And this is how it is when God saves you. You turn your back against this world, as it were. This world's not your friend. But you now want to align yourself with God's people. And you want to draw near to him because you realize that there is only one God. There is the true and there's a living God. And God has done mighty things. And he has done mighty things through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. What did he do on the cross? What did he do for his people? He took all of their sins in his own body. That whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. The Lord Jesus Christ has said, all that come unto me, I shall in no wise cast out. You see, to have anything else beside this God is a terrible thing. It'd be a terrible thing to be an atheist, isn't it? Because what are you? You've got nothing beyond this world. Nothing. And you think to yourself, I might be wrong. Well, of course you're wrong. And God will prove you wrong, and you'll be utterly ashamed for all eternity that you are without God. So you see faith's reasoning here. And the evidence of her faith is there's works, as we thought this morning. Yes, there's works. There are many people that say, I'm a Christian, but I tell you, they have no fruit in their life. She puts her neck out for these people. The people of God. Hebrews 11:31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. It's quite a verse, that, isn't it? She had, through all of this, she had peace in it. She saw that this was the Lord's lot to bear her cross. She took them into her place. That's faith, isn't it? You put your back against the world, my friend. Christianity is not an easy thing. What did the Lord Jesus Christ say? Except a man deny himself, he cannot be my disciple. I think there are too many preachers making it easy for people to get into the kingdom, and they discover they're not actually in the kingdom. They don't have a new heart. They're not like Rahab. And the striking thing is, you know, she's a Gentile, and the worst of all, as we said this morning in Jericho, we couldn't imagine anybody worse. I'm sure there were bad people there. But she is a monument, surely, of God's grace, isn't she? And this is amazing. Even before they enter into the land, the Lord saves a Gentile. And it's by this Gentile that he's already saved that he brings instruction, encouragement to Joshua. Notice there, as we saw this morning, those are the words that he needed to hear. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. That is exactly what she said in the verse 9. Your terror is fallen upon us, that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. And she was the messenger in that. But here's the reasoning of faith. I don't want to belong to these people anymore. And you know, you start to see the world for what it is, dear friend. It's empty, isn't it? I mean, this woman had seen that pleasure and riches. She forsook all of that for the true and the living God. For what is your life? It's but a vapor, we hear, just for a moment. Jericho, she saw, was soon to perish. It was part of the Amorite kingdom under the subjugation of Egypt. But what could Egypt do? And what can this world do for you? What can goods do for you? They won't keep you. They may give you some comfort. But my friends, Jericho was destined by God to perish. Not a house stood, but hers. In that great day of wrath, God had pronounced his judgment way back in Genesis 15:16 to Abraham. Remember, but in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. This is the promise of God's word, and God never lies. And God has promised to destroy this earth. And what God is doing here upon Canaan is not some cruel, arbitrary act, but this is judgment. And the judgment upon this earth is not some cruel, arbitrary act, my dear friends. But you are just like the people of Jericho if you're unsaved. No different to Rahab. You have lived in God's world. You have occupied his earth. You have breathed his air. You have taken all these things and you have lived for other things. Like Rahab, you have lived a wicked and depraved life. I say this, if you're not converted, it's wicked and depraved to deny God. You may not like it, but I'm not here to please you, but to preach the truth. The fact of the matter is, this world is soon to be destroyed, just like Jericho. That place, as we thought this morning, was cursed. For centuries, people could not drink the waters of Jericho. You know, in the days, as I mentioned this morning, of Elisha, it was Elisha that healed the waters of Jericho. Elisha is a wonderful type of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring in a new heavens and a new earth, and he will utterly cure everything. He is the only cure for our sins. For he bore the sins of his people in his own body, but the rest of the world doesn't like it. You see, faith's reasoning. Faith's reasoning is this. I don't want to be associated with this world. I don't want to be associated with Jericho. I don't want to be part of this world. But I see God's people and I see what he's doing for them. This is the omnipotent, almighty God. My dear friends, she had heard of the almighty power of God working and delivering Israel. And maybe you've seen the almighty power of God working in people's lives. And maybe he's starting to open your eyes and you begin to fear and respect God. Notice again, verse 10, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and so on. They've all heard this. Verse 9, right at the end there, the whole land faint, but how is it only she fears? There's a sense in which they fear. But only she has filial fear and respect for God. I tell you, it's the wickedness of man's heart that he does not bow to God. And it's nothing but wickedness of heart tonight, friend, if you do not bow. I can't say it any plainer. Notice how the hearts of the people of Jericho had melted. It sounds like they converted, but they're not. Verse 11, and as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man. Or you say, well, that's what the people of Hempstead need, a dose of this. No, that's not going to do any good. No. What they need is the grace of God. And if you start to see these things, let me say, friend, it's only the grace of God that has made you to see. You can believe that God is coming in wrath and judgment and vengeance. But that is not the same to bow down and to respect him and to love him and hold him in holy awe. How is it that only Rahab, out of the whole of Jericho, turned from her sin to serve the living God? Nobody in Jericho, as far as we know, did. But he showed mercy, it seems, to one of the worst of sinners. And thus confirming that salvation is by grace. It's not by him that willeth, or him that runneth, or him that's been taught in this church, that church, and he's had some preacher just say the right things and try to persuade him to. No! Nobody will persuade anybody. Yes, we speak persuading words. And you can know the terror of God coming. But you see, the heart is so hard and depraved. It's wicked. It's bent against God. And it's a mercy that anybody should ever be saved. If you don't see that, you're blind. You're even blinder than you imagine. Well, you can imagine this woman. What kind of a life did she live? Well, she was once walking the streets of Jericho, destroying families, destroying relationships. But here is a sinner who is a monument of God's saving grace. I'm convinced that some people just want to be persuaded that they're somehow okay and that God will accept them. I imagine there may be even some who would call themselves Christians that want me to preach like that. I'll never do that, because he saves the worst of sinners. He saves them who know and feel their sins. The Lord has given us life, as he did this woman. But you know, she squandered her life, didn't she? And you have, if you're unsaved, you have squandered your life. And you have wrecked other people's lives by not bearing the image of God as you should have in this world. You've lived for yourself. You've dishonored God. And frankly, you are deserving of God's wrath. I can't say it any plainer. Others, no doubt, looked down upon her in Jericho. But you know, they were just self-righteous bigots, weren't they? That's all they were. And the churches are filled, my dear friends, with self-righteous bigots. You know, I wonder what they made of her now. Look at her. She's failed at our occupation. Nobody wants to know her. And soon they report her. She's harboring spies. World's not your friend, is it? Never will be. Never will be. But you see, she feared God. She didn't fear the people of Jericho. And if you are converted, you fear God. You don't fear the smile or the frown of your friends or your family, but you fear God and you bow down. That is faith's reasoning, because you see the wrath of God is coming. How is it she sees it, but others don't? God's revealed it. She saw mighty things, but they knew these things. But you see, they didn't want those truths about all the destruction that God has wrought. They didn't allow those truths to resonate the heart, did they? No. You see, faith's reasoning is reality. She faced reality. She was a dying creature, and one day she would have to meet this God, as we do. And we'll have to face up with facts. Our sins are ever before us. Rahab the harlot had the fear of God. Where did it come from? Well, first of all, by hearing the word. She heard of these great mighty acts. Then maybe you're listening and you're beginning to hear sermons and truth is coming over you. But then there must be something else. They also heard the truth, the people of Jericho. It must be the Spirit's work, because your heart is so hard, friend. Your heart is hard. Are you constantly hearing, always learning, but you're still in darkness? You're still a stranger to God. Canaan had heard the truth. Jericho had heard the truth. She had heard the truth, but she feared. And she loved God. She loved his people. And the evidence is there by the way she treats the people. And you know, if we're a Christian tonight, we can only say it's grace that has made us to differ. God has done it. I'd be lost. I can't remember the times I heard the word of God as a young man. Every night I would hear it read, not at home but at boarding school. The word of God. But I never really wanted to hear it. There are so many like that. You'll hear it. It's a problem of the heart, isn't it? That was my problem. Oh, yes. It's the grace of God. But notice she not only... Notice there in the verse 12. Rahab desired not only to escape from the judgment, but to know a true token of God's mercy to her. That's the verse I said we'd look at very briefly. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness to my father's house, and give me a true token. Now what is the true token? Verse 18 tells us that they told her that the same cord you let us down by, that scarlet cord, we want to see it hanging from your window when we come back. Now, it had to be a scarlet cord, not a yellow cord, not a white cord, not a multicolored cord. And what is the cord? Well, it's a wonderful picture. Think of the way, as they say here, when we see the cord, what are we reminded? When they see this cord, behold, when we come into their land, that thou bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head. And so whoever is going to go into Rahab's house and come out, and if anybody harms that person, that's her family, destruction's going to be upon that person. In other words, the sure token here is this cord. So when we come and destroy by God's mighty power, this scarlet cord, not a different color one, this is how you will be spared. Remember, it was the same with the children of Egypt when they were brought out of Egypt. God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over them. Now, many of the old preachers make much of this verse here, and I think they're right. Because this does point, doesn't it, to the crimson thread of redemption that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are many people, let me say this, who say they're a Christian. They say, yes, I'm trusting in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of my sins. And they'll say, yes, and we must. Not by works, Titus says, of righteousness which we have done. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by God's mercy. But according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. So it's not by works of righteousness, but by Christ and by that new birth. That is how we're saved. Now, there are many people that say, yes, I'm a Christian, and I'll trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they'll go no further. The Lord Jesus, what did he say? He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. If he won't, he cannot be my disciple. So there are many people who say, yes, I'm a Christian, and I believe in the free and sovereign grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's my hope. Yes. But they go no further. If you will not deny yourself, you cannot be my disciple. In other words, I'll trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus, but I'll not yield myself to Christ in my life. Well, my dear friends, you're not a Christian. And so what they'll do is they'll have another token, you see. It's their own token. It's the token of, well, it's only the finished work, but it doesn't matter how I live. I pay no attention to God's laws and his commandments. And John has to remind his hearers in his day that if a man keep not his commandments, he is a liar, and the truth is not in him. That's a sad day, isn't it? You know, there's one token, isn't there? The token is this, that yes, we trust. But remember, we've read this morning from James, faith without works is dead. And we are reminded there in James chapter 2 that Rahab had works in her life, not for salvation, but it was a mark that she was a child of God. If she had put out another cord and just done what she wanted, she wouldn't have been spared. But you see, the obedience of faith, do you not see it? She just didn't do what she wanted. And that's the point. When God saves you and he asks you to do something, the disposition of such a heart is, Lord, is that all you want me to do? Surely, I want to do more, Lord. And I want to obey you. If a man will not deny himself, friends, I will not preach a cheap gospel and a false gospel. She denied herself. She put her neck out. And she was willing to do so. She forsook this world. She forsook her people, and she aligned herself to the living God. And that is how every true Christian is. And that's what James reminds us of there in James chapter 2. Faith without works is dead. My friend, do not deceive yourself and tell yourself that you're a Christian if you will not deny yourself for Christ. Ultimately, when we look at our lives as Christians, we take no confidence, do we, in the flesh, in our lives, in any of our works. No! Not at all. It's in the finished work of Christ. But you know, if Christ died for us, he lives in us. And if he lives in you, it's worked out in the life. See the obedience of faith. You say, I want this. Well, I'll tell you what. The Lord searches every heart that comes to him, because he so works in that heart. And where there is true repentance like this woman, see her life changed. That's true repentance, not just an outcry against sin, but a holy desire not to displease God. That's salvation. I don't know another kind. It's not legalism. Neither is it antinomianism. There's two ditches we've got to avoid, friends. Both. Rahab is a wonderful example. She's commended. Commended. Will we be like her? What's our hope? Yes, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. But friends, if we are his, my beloved is mine. Think of the words there in Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 16. My beloved is mine, and I am his. I'm not my own. I was bought at a price. And now I desire to serve God, the true and the living God. This world is passing away, and the lust thereof. But the Lord Jesus reminds us, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Rahab kept the promise. kept this, she'd have been lost, wouldn't she? This is why the Lord Jesus said, what did he say to his disciples? If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Your right arm, cut it off. He didn't mean literal mutilation. But what he was getting at is this. If you really are mine, you'll mortify sin. Paul says, I buffet myself. Lest after I preached, I become a castaway. This is the true grace of God. We don't have strength to do these things. But here, my dear friends, is the life of faith. Here is the reasoning of faith. May God be pleased to give it to you, to work it in your heart, to convince you this world is passing. How did she hear about these? She heard the word. You've heard the word. And take encouragement this evening in the fact that you have heard the word and you've begun to see. You go on to greater things, if that is the case. And you will go on to see the one who gave himself as a ransom for many soon. And you'll enjoy the heaven which he is preparing now for all of them that love him. The Lord Jesus said, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not do as I say? To love him is to obey him and to walk in his ways. Have your eyes opened by the grace of God, and oh, may he so work, dear friends, in your heart and in mine, all to the glory of his name. Amen.